putting them together as a comparison group, and we did a pretty good job of it in terms of the size of the two comparison and the intervention group, urbanicity, percent of solar and poverty, that sort of thing. Now, we all know asthma is an ambulatory sensitive care condition, and we should be able to avoid hospitalization properly managed. Therefore, hospital discharges make a good population level impact measure. This particular study is a multiple missions, which are a con on people with one children who have been hospitalized for asthma before, but not particularly common if you look at hospitalization overall. But what we know is this is a red flag, indicating poorly controlled asthma. And we also know from previous research that folks with this view tend to be more likely to be poor minority groups, and importantly, geographically concentrated. So just looking at the overall discharge rates, we pooled 12 years of data from the Virginia Hospital Discharge Database, which is see the intervention area that's quite consistent year by year across the first 12 years was considerably higher in terms of hospitalizations than either the intervention area or the state as a whole. So some of the challenges we faced when trying to track and count readmissions were that the individual or the unique identifier that would allow that to happen were often missing for a number of third of records. And these were not missing at random, and they were more likely to be missing from younger children, data from earlier years of the database, minority children from certain hospitals. Why these characteristics, I'm not entirely sure. I think it has something to do with health information management systems as they develop in different hospitals and whatnot. As the database itself matured, it did a better job of collecting information. But the problem is it has the potential to bias results. We made an assumption that the children with missing identifiers were probably similar with regard to their propensity for multiple discharges to those or not. Whether that's true or not, difficult to know, but this is not so much a causal study as a descriptive study to help us guide interventions. So I think it meets a lower bar for quality of the findings for the purpose, since we're just trying to target our interventions. So in this group of children aged 2 to 17, total discharges for children who only had one were about 1,875, and for most children with more than one discharge, 600. But you can see across the state comparison area, there's actually a fairly consistent phenomenon. About 25% of the kids that are hospitalized for asthma have a readmission, one or more. Now, this is the number of admissions attributed to these children. You can see that these kids represent a disproportionate share of total admissions. Again, quite consistent across the areas. About half of all admissions fall to this smaller group of kids with multiple admissions. Again, so we're sort of drilling down and getting this idea this is a good group that we want to intervene with. Now, quite surprising, well, somewhat surprising to me was the range of the number of hospitalizations. There were really quite a few kids who had as many as 20 admissions over a period of time. That was, I guess it was surprising that so many of them, and that they really weren't, just outliers. It was just a finding there. Time between the discharges were typically about a year and a quarter, and really no differences between the three areas in the length of time between discharges. So that's quite a good expanse of time. Length of stay tended to be longer there's something going on in the Parma area that makes it a little worse on some measures, but some of these phenomena are really quite consistent across the different populations we're looking at in the state. Initially, I thought we may have been, well, we have such a high minority population, maybe that was it. But really, that was not an influence. There's something about the Parma area, certainly, having more multiple remissions. And there certainly is a longitudinal trend that was going on with that problem becoming more pronounced as time went on. Now, some of that is just, as with the asthma, also with the age measure, it's just a cohort bias. We're following some kids for longer periods of time, and therefore you have more likelihood of seeing a readmission. But, and this sort of graphically represents that pattern. So even though these kids we started following in 94, 95 had a greater, when we followed them longer, so it was more likely you would see a readmission. So some of what you see there is that effect. But this also very closely follows the hospital discharge, overall hospital discharge rate from that period of time, from 94 up to about 99. It was increasing both in Virginia and in the country as a whole, as far as I understand. And since that time has declined. So I think, while not perhaps precise, we can see that there's a trend there, what's been going on with readmissions over time in, you know, our catchment area in that state. So we thought, well, let's get even and try and refine this a little more, perhaps find a subgroup here that is even more at risk, or perhaps something indicative of more serious or poorly controlled asthma. So we looked at kids where there was at least one discharge, 2 minutes, that occurred within 30 days of another. So now this group looked quite, and although there weren't a large number of these kids, they did look quite different. They tended to have more discharges than the other groups. Length of stays was similar, although trending towards higher values for this subgroup. One or more admissions that were close together. What was very interesting, though, was among the readmitters, the multiple admitters, we say that 75% of these children really came from 9 coastal zip codes in our area. And these are the same 9 coastal zip codes from which we found total admissions discharge rates were high. And this was quite consistent from year to year across the time period. So graphically, the same idea. Those first 9 bars represent the 9 highest zip codes pooled for that 12-year period. So this was really helpful in beginning to guide